Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lot by Lonnie Wyman and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. There are certain people who appear to go through life completely unaware of what is going on around them. Needless to say, Chief Petty Officer Pertwee is not one of them. The chief goes through life determined to find out what is going on, wherever it's going on, somehow. Life's little mysteries mean only one thing to Pertwee. Someone is up to something Pertwee doesn't know about, but Pertwee intends to know about, so Pertwee can be reasonably sure that when the big one drops, it won't fall on Pertwee, so Pertwee knows which way to duck.
Welcome to whoever is without, and enter unto me forthwith.
Good morning, Pertwee.
Oh, felicitations, Chief, on this splendid morn.
Well, with respect, Cartwright, I'm not so sure this morn is all that splendid. And the afternoon could be a something sight dodgier.
Is, to use your own enchanting phrase,
something up?
Yes, something is up. Then a laugh and a lack and probably this. Is the something important?
I fear so, Padre. I have reasons to believe that our captain, otherwise known as Commander Belzer, has either deserted, been kidnapped, or in some manner, at present unknown, been half-inched. Anyway, whatever the cause, he's gone missing.
Well, now you come to mention it, Chief. I must admit that I haven't seen our noble captain for quite a while.
Nor has anybody else, sir. But that is hardly a novelty, is it? We never see him for weeks at a time when he is on board. But now all his gear is gone out of his cabin, and his bed is in virgin. Sorry, Father Bob. Sorry, Father Bobber. Condition.
How terribly, terribly strange. In our midst, he's suddenly all gone.
Exactly, Padre, and I think I know where.
But surely someone must have looked for him in there by now.
No, Padre. I reckon, Padre, that he's been nicked by spies. They must have come out of you-know-what country in the middle of the night and whipped him from his cozy little cot.
Oh, surely not. Surely not.
You mark my words, Padre. You mark my words, the Bolshies have got him. I don't doubt that even at this very moment, our gallant captain is being brainwashed. Browbeaten and assorted other bits beaten as well.
Oh, please, please, the mind positively boggled.
Quite so, Padre. Quite so. And he'll be absolutely boggled by now. They're ruthless, sir, that's what they are. They're completely ruthless. They won't stop until they've wrung the last vital naval secret out of his pain-wracked body. And our fellow shipmate is left as a mere shadow of his old nautical self.
Oh, now,
geez. It's a wonder we can't hear his tortured cries for mercy from here, sir. If we can't, why can I only hope that he's dropped off for a bit of a kip? While those inhuman swine do their work.
Now, Chief, steady down, steady down. I am sure you are letting your imagination run away with you.
Oh, I hope you're right, Padre. I hope you're right. But if he isn't copping the hot foot or the dripping water on the boat, then the potty old fool must have done a boat without leave.
Oh, hello, you chap. Here I say, have you heard? The captain's left the ship.
We had heard, Mr. Phillips, again.
Yes, truly, the chief, the out fellow underneath it all, no doubt, has just advanced the theory that the skipper is now behind the tin curtain.
No, not tin, Padre, iron.
Oh, well, I knew that it was metal and not plastic.
That it is not, sir.
Oh, it don't bear thinking about, do it?
What do? I mean, don't.
He don't.
Do he? No, sir, he doesn't.
trust you to get it right when everybody else is getting it wrong.
This is no time for us to be arguing about our Bulgogorica. Not when Commander Bell is out there, somewhere, suffering in every tissue.
Every what?
Tissue.
Bless you.
Padre, this is no time to talk shop. Not when at this very second they're probably extricating poor old Basherbell's fingernails one by one. And after that, they'll have his trotter nails. They'll have his trotter nails and then... You know what I mean, Mr. Phillips?
No.
You look as if you did. And then, do you know what they'll do then? They'll start on his choppers.
Oh, nasty.
Very, sir, very. Give those communists more another half an hour, and our dear departed captain will be nothing but a cardboard box full of little spare parts.
I don't think I feel very well.
I don't suppose he's feeling all that perky about it neither. One is not one's best without one's paws, trotters and choppers. One down the field, one looks a bit untidy.
He's reveling in it. What's he talking about?
As far as I can gather, Mr. Phillips, the chief is of the opinion that our captain is now languishing under torture in Moscow.
Moscow? Don't be daft, he's in Scunthorpe.
Pardon?
He's in Scunthorpe.
Tell me, those bolshies are everywhere. Surely somebody must have noticed them sitting on the beach in their funny fur hats and their big black boots.
But there isn't a beach in Scunthorpe.
Oh, then that would account for it.
I don't think that is quite what Mr. Phillips meant.
Oh, hello, you chap.
Have you heard? Commander Bell's gone.
Yes, we have.
Oh, bother. Why am I always the last to know what's going on?
What's going on? It's what I believe is going on, Mr. Murrison. But it's best that you should remain in ignorance. Such details are not for the squeamish.
What are you talking about? Well, don't look at me, sir. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
You want to know, it is my opinion, Mr. Murray, sir, that dear old Basherbell has been biffed and banged about in a Russian ruffle.
What?
Yeah, well, his eyebrows by now. They've had all his trotters out for another couple of hours. His eyebrows. Yes. Yeah. Just one by one they'll have an out, sir. With little red hot needles. And then, you know what they'll do, Mr. Phillips? They'll start on his Uta.
Oh, shut up. I've never heard so much nonsense in all my life. And for the sake of Leslie's delicate little tum, stop wallowing in it, will you?
Oh, it's all very well for you to say that, isn't it? What about poor old Basherbell's delicate little tum, sir? My lordy, they'll say, that's Russian, sir. My lordy, they'll say, one quick gulp. And the drugs will start to work. And he'll be telling them all he knows, like a chatty budgie on a bouncy bird feed.
Don't be ridiculous. Besides, Commander Bell doesn't know anything they want to hear.
Well, neither do you, Mr. Phillips. He's never stopped you talking.
Yeah.
Quite so, sir. And that's without the red hot pokers, sir. And the lighted matches stuck up under yellow.
That's ridiculous.
It's gone on quite long enough.
Very nearly too long that time, actually.
And the bell has been given compassionate leave to visit a relative in Scunthorpe. He'll be away for quite some time. In the meantime, we're to have a new captain.
Oh, is he serious? Or me? Or that?
Never mind that. Is he one of us?
No idea. I haven't met him yet.
We're supposed to report to Captain Toby's office in half an hour, and he's going to tell us who he is.
I wonder if we know our new shipmate.
Well, that's the odd thing. When I asked Captain Toby that, I got the distinct impression that he laughed.
Oh, well. I don't like the sound of it at all, I don't. Old Thundercats only giggles when there's a right disaster call flying about.
Yeah, quite.
usually over us and losing height rapidly.
I don't like it. No, I don't. Not at all, I don't. No. Like it, I do not. Not at all, I don't. No.
Do I? But we just have to lump it. Come along, Mr. Phillips, Chief. Let's get ourselves smartened up and get across to old Thundercut's office. The sooner we know, the worse.
The sooner we can desert.
Oh, shut up and polish your boots. I'll meet you at Captain Povey's office in 20 minutes. Hello, Heather. Are we too early?
Well, if you are, I imagine it's the first time ever.
Hello, Heather. My, aren't you looking enchanting this bright and sunny day? Oh, well, yeah. Oh, my word, an English rose, if ever I saw one. Oh, yes. Yes, lovely you look.
What's the captain's name and what's he like?
You just can't beat the subtle approach, can you?
I have no idea. Captain Povey refused to tell me anything about it. Mind you, just giggle a bit every time I mention it.
I don't like it, I don't. Not at all, I don't like it.
Oh, too. Don't start that again.
Oh, come on, Heather. You must have accidentally seen a signal or something about him by now.
Yes, and if you haven't, you aren't the girl we thought you were.
No, I'm sorry. I've no idea. Captain Povey's insisted on dealing with the matter personally, and all the correspondence has gone straight to him.
Fair enough. Where's it kept? We've just got time for quick butchers at the duty bit.
Mm. Well, it's all in his office in his filing cabinet.
Good show. Lend us the key. We shan't be a moment. After you, Chief.
And Captain Povey is in there with it.
Stand fast, Chief. Leslie nearly dropped the big one.
Positively king size.
Yes, Captain Povey?
Are those fools from Trustbridge out there, yes?
Yes, sir. And they're all ever so agog.
Are they? Really? Yes, well, I suppose they must be. I've never known them to arrive anywhere on time before. The gentlemen.
Aye, aye, sir. The Lord High Executioner will see you now, gentlemen. In you go. Yes. And do let me know what happens afterwards, won't you? Because I'm dying of curiosity, too.
Oh, come in, gentlemen. Come in, gentlemen. Come in. I presume you know what you're here for.
My eye is giggling again. I don't like it, not at all, I don't.
I gather you're going to tell us who is to be the new captain of Trowbridge, sir.
Very exactly.
So I cannot tell you how much I shall enjoy having a much tighter control over you and your disreputable frigate. I'll soon have you knocked into something like shipshape now.
Hey?
You will?
We are discussing your new commanding officer, are we not, gentlemen? Oh, I am going to enjoy this.
It's him! It's him! Thundercat is going to be on you!
Permission to desert, Mr. Marita. Going beyond the call of duty is one thing, but serving under that cantankerous old...
You're quiet, Percy.
Yes. Sub Lieutenant Sir. Yes. Permission to resign my commission, number one, sir, please. As from now.
Certainly not. I'm not going to be stuck here on my own with that cantankerous old... I mean, permission of you.
But, sir, for both of you.
If you have all quite finished, I was about to say that your new commanding officer is a man after my own heart. He has spent most of his career at Whitehall and understands that ship cannot float without proper paperwork.
Oh, he's right there, sir. I made a paper boat once, but it sank. I think the matchstick mast was too heavy.
Don't shut up. Are we to understand, Captain Povey, that you're not to be our new commanding officer? It's somebody else?
Of course. You don't think Admiralty could spare me from my valuable office work just to go to sea, do you? Oh, I wanted to, of course, but the nation's need of me behind this desk must take priority over my chances of ever actually going on the water.
Capsule flag! Maverick in the purse where you've been relieved. 3 years for a flaming near me. You've been...
Percy, can't warn you again.
Hooray.
Gentlemen, allow me to introduce you to your new commanding officer. Would you come in, please, Commander Trotter?
Good morning, Captain.
Chap?
Yes. Yes.
I think this office will suit me splendidly. Better than the cubbyhole I had in Whitehall, I can tell you. You've no idea what a relief it is to me to find the Troutbridge is a shore-based establishment. All the way down here on the train, I was terrified it was going to be a ship. Ships and I just don't get on, you see.
Come on, Trotter.
As soon as they take away the gangplank and cast off, the old Tom panics, and that's the last I know of the voyage. Yo-ho, and up she rises till we dock.
Commander Trotter.
Yes, Captain.
This is not Troutbridge. This is my office, and this dock comes from Troutbridge. She is a free.
Really? Well, jolly nice to meet you all. She's a what?
A frigate, sir.
A frigate? Not that, not one of those in the water all the time and have guns pointing all over the radar mast. All painted gray with ropes and things that go bang and sags at both ends, is it?
Now, isn't that odd? That's just how I would have described her.
Yes, Mr. Blister. And the thing that makes it go bang is usually you.
Would you, chap, mind if I had a bit of a sit down? The idea of commanding something that floats is a bit of a shock.
But surely you've been to sea before, sir?
Not for donkey's years, old man. And even then, the moment we sailed, I never saw how it all worked. I was always in that little room next to my cabin. That's why I hung on that admin job at Admiralty, see?
Then what made you let go, sir?
No choice, Chief. I moved.
Yes, quite. Well, we won't go into that now.
Oh, do let. What did you do, sir?
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. It does matter. I might want to take it down and use it in evidence. I mean, one is naturally curious, isn't one?
Then one isn't going to know. Shame. Why?
Which department at Whitehall did you say you were attached to, sir?
He's also finished, because he won't find out. Now, gentlemen, take Commander Trump to Trotbridge and show him around so that he can familiarize himself with his ship.
Aye, sir. If we stand at the dockside and just point out the important bit, that will do splendidly.
No, it won't, Commander Trotter. You are going aboard.
Oh, Lord. Hard luck, Tom. I did my best.
Well, off you go, gentlemen.
This way, sir.
Now, after you, sir. After you. What did he do? Hey, what did he do? That's what I want to know. What did he do? Must have been a big one. Hey, whatever can it be, eh? Launching him with intent to defraud the stamp team. Eh? No. Knocking off the cuckoo money. Yes. Explosion.
This way, please.
And you say this bit of the ship is called the Viaduct. Very interesting.
Not Viaduct, sir.
It's the bridge.
The bridge.
Of course. I knew it was something to do with train.
Well, Commander Trotter, I think you've seen all the ship now, so that's about it.
No, not quite. As we were leaving Captain Purvey's office, that girl sailor in the outside office gave me this envelope. I gathered it was important in some way.
Important, sir? They're sailing orders.
That's what I was afraid of, yes. Shall I throw them away now?
You can't do that, sir. You must open them at once.
Oh, dear. Must I? No, just a minute. Why don't you open them, number one, whilst I get ashore?
Sure, sir. You should do that.
No, thanks. I prefer to be told what time I'm going to be ill instead of reading about it.
Very well, sir, if you insist.
Perhaps he didn't sail in orders at all. Perhaps it tells us what it was that Commander Trotter did to get flung out of his office.
That'll do, Chief. It's none of your business.
Stop muttering, Chief.
These are our sailing orders, sir. Shall I read them out?
Oh, carry on.
And if we're ordered to sail to Scunthorpe, goodbye all. I'm not the type that fits in cardboard box.
If you don't shut up, you'll be fitted into a tin box with iron bars down below in a minute.
Oh, come on, sir. You're making Leslie nervous.
But what are our sailing orders?
Well, they're a bit vague, really. We're just to take the ship out for an hour and steam around to enable Commander Trotter to get used to handling her at sea.
Me? Potty? No. You take her to sea and tell me all about it when you get back.
Don't think that would do at all, sir.
You never know, sir. You might enjoy it. After all, people who are car sick are often perfectly all right once they learn to drive.
Well, if I must. Let me know when you're ready to get this thing out of the garage, and I'll have a go. In the meantime, I'll go down to my cabin and have a few tablets. They never do any good, but they taste like prison.
Steady at that, Chief, and just for old time's sake, left hand down a bit.
Steady at that, left hand down a bit, it is, sir.
Sorry, pardon, Mr. Barge, gentlemen. It should have been right hand up a bit.
I'll give you a sorry pardon. Look what you've done. You've bent me forward.
Oh, nasty.
Hi, Tony. I've got your number. F09. I'm claiming on your insurance.
Well, carry on. We lost our no-claim bonus ages ago.
Thanks to you, Mr. Phillips, almost daily ever since.
Well, it's not my fault the shipping roads are so crowded these days.
He's right, Mr. Marisa. We know it makes sense. With balmy brain boxes like Mr. Phillips, you really can't ask a man to think and drive.
In his case, not at the same time, I'll admit. Still no sign of Commander Trotter, I suppose?
No, I'm afraid not, sir. As soon as we let go for it, he turned bright green, shot out of his cabin and attended to his own requirements, sir.
Bridge number one speaking.
Starboard the Guardian, sir. Lead in Seaman Goldstein. Shut in. Shall I chuck the gentleman's bulwarks overboard or hang on to them as evidence?
What?
Where do you think all those ships of catty old wood landed? I'm standing out here up to my knees in firewood.
The Gulf Stream.
Oh, and incidentally, whilst you're on the line, if you want to know where the new captain is, I can see him from here. Well, leastways he's gone.
What?
He's stuck out of his cabin porthole. And has been ever since we sailed. I think he must be examining the paintwork.
No, I don't think that's what he's doing.
Neither do I. What cried the British sea dog now? They should have appointed a Welshman.
Goldstein. Well?
And it wouldn't have been much of a problem. I'm available. Yes, sir.
Yes, I'll have him one of these days. In the memory of Nelson, Harvey, and Benbow, I'll have him.
Oh, I very much doubt it, sir. As soon as Wales declares independence, he'll declare diplomatic impunity.
Oh, hello, chap. Is all this up and down nonsense going on much longer?
Not much longer now, Commander Trotter. We're heading back to the dockyard now.
Portsmouth Harbour entrance dead ahead.
Is it really? Gosh, how did that happen? I am proud.
Then calm down, sir. You've still got to get through it.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Pertwee. There's bags of room.
Yeah, well, tell that to the gents on both our sides, sir. You've never steamed us in yet without clouting one or the other.
Oh, yes, I have. Once. Yeah, possibly, but you were so excited that there hadn't been a bang, you drove us straight up onto a sandbank just inside the entrance.
Well, a chap can't think of everything.
No, but just one now and then might help. Commander Trotter, sir, as Captain Purvey will probably be on the dockside watching us come in, do you think it might be advisable if you took over the bridge and brought Trotter in?
Me? Are you mad?
Just looking after your interests, sir?
You'll find all my cards and plots on the table, sir.
You never take my advice, sir, ignore them. Otherwise, we'll all end up in the Manchester Ship Canal.
Facing the wrong way. Well, that's it. I finished. If that's the attitude amongst people, one used as regard as one's shipmate, there's nothing more to be said. Nothing more to say at all.
Somebody else can sail the blooming thing.
You see if I care. See if I care. Yeah.
I mean, Briggs, number one speaking.
Dara Dogadia, sir, leading seaman Goldstein, re-chatting. In case you hadn't noticed, and I don't suppose for a moment you had, we're just entering... the dockyard entrance.
Well, of course, that's what you get with amateurs at the helm, isn't it? Let's face it, Mr. Phillips, nobody was at the helm.
But the result was the same.
No, it isn't. I would have carried it on the other side. I would have gone through with inches to spare.
Oh, for pity's sake, will somebody take over the ship?
Well, don't look at me. Leslie's been declared redundant.
Then that seems to leave me. Whereabouts are we supposed to park?
Just over there, sir, in between the destroyer might piece and that aircraft carrier.
You're not serious.
Live dangerously, sir. Have a go.
Oh, well, in for a penny, in for about 15,000 quid. Now then, golly. Steady at that, helmsman.
Steady at that, it is, sir.
And, left hand down a bit.
Mummy, he must have gone to the same navigational school as I did.
Never mind that, sir. What's more important, the commanding officer and gent? He's obviously one of us. Left hand down a minute, sir. Sorry, pardon, matey. And you, Mr. Aircraft Carrier Driver.
Do you think I should have help, eh?
No, at all, sir. You're doing splendidly. Completely in the ship's tradition, sir.
Bridge, number one speaking.
Starboard look out here, sir. Leading seaman, Goldstein, shut in. Just coming alongside. Now, sir. Lovely to have a professional aboard, isn't it?
I'll have him with my bookie Colwyn Bay.
Oh! Oh! How common!
Hey, you! Senior officer on the bridge!
Tell me, it's all from the gun.
Senior officer on the bridge!
It'll never be me, I suppose.
I'm afraid, sir, I think Captain Purvey wants the word.
Commander Tucker, were you responsible for all this?
Only about 100%, actually. Why?
Why? Why? You have three ships for your first time. How can you ask why? Please report to me in my office in 10 minutes. Understand?
Oh, frightfully. Yes.
Hard luck, sir. And as one who knows about these things, sir, may I say it was a brave trial.
Oh, thanks very much. Not as easy as it looks, is it?
No, sir, in case you don't come back from your interview with old Pondergut, sir.
Yes?
What was it you did that got you sprung out of your office job?
Well, if you must know, I somehow lost all the accident reports and claims for damages caused by HMS Troutbridge.
What? I knew he was one of us.
Congrats, sir.
Mind you, I could have wriggled round that, but there was the other thing, you see.
Other thing? What other thing?
That's none of your business, Chief.
Oh, yes, it is, sir. Yes, sir, ever so definitely it is, sir. Now, what can he have done, eh? Punched the Admiral's bike on the fifth of feet, eh? Water down the Lordship's elevenses,
Been caught in the wren's quarters after...
Forget it, Chief, forget it.
He won't, you know. He'll find out eventually. Welcome aboard, sir. Welcome aboard.
Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips have been instructing their new CO in the ways of the Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Captain Tovey was saved by Richard Cordicott, Heather was Heather Chasten, leading Stephen Goldstein was Daniel Evans, the Padre was Michael Bates, and Commander Tarter was saved by Alan Reeve Jones. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.